Here's Yvonne Welch.
God knows just how to get our attention, and he knows just what to do to break this will that is inside of us. And God was allowing me to go through a time where he was purifying me, where he was breaking me, and where he was truly refining me. And we were told that as Christians, we are going to be refined as gold.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 29th. Here in the month of July, we've been focusing on practical life issues. We'll continue today as Nancy gets us started.
I'm so glad you've joined us for Revive Our Hearts today, and it's really a privilege this week to have two friends, one new and, well, Holly, I don't want to say you're an old friend, because you're not old, but you've been in my life for a long time. Holly Eliff, long time friend, that's the way to say it. But Holly has joined us for a conversation with Yvonne Welch. Yvonne is a Bible teacher and speaker. And Yvonne, I'm so grateful that you've been willing to take some time out to meet with us and share with our listeners.
Nancy, it is a blessing for me to be here, and it's really an honor and a privilege. So I thank you.
You're welcome. And you've authored a study for women called Spiritual Rest in the Life of a Woman. And that study grew out of your ministry that God has given you as a pastor's wife to mothers, women, young women. And you had four little children at one time. And can you relate to this season of things just being stressed and crazy and busy? And what was it like for you in those days?
I can remember that I just would be so tired at the end of the day. And I got so tired, really, that Bob had to rush me to the hospital one night because I said, "Bob, I don't know what's happening, but I think I'm dying." And so Bob rushed me to the hospital, and the doctor looked at me and he said, "Your wife is acute, chronically exhausted." And I went, "Yes, I am." I'd never heard that word before, but at the time, I thought it was only physical, but then God began to show me that it was very much spiritual. One of the reasons that God has really given me a heart to encourage women and to teach women is because I was there. I can remember what it was like. I can remember what it was like to think, "I don't know if I can make it till lunch." It got to be so intense that I actually did lose my health. And I'm so grateful the Lord allowed me to go to a very godly doctor. And that doctor looked at me and he said, "I can either give you all of these antidepressants, or I can put you on the most vigorous exercise program you have ever seen." And my husband said, "We will take the exercise." And in my heart, I thought, "I don't know what I want."
You probably didn't feel like you could do vigorous exercise at that point if you were so utterly exhausted.
I didn't.
I mean, that must have seemed like climbing, you know,
Mount Everest.
It did. And so I could barely run one block. And then the next day I ran two blocks. And then pretty soon the Lord helped me. And I was running 1 mile twice a day. And I can remember taking my little children. Mark and Lucy were very little at the time, and I would take them and put them in the sand area at the track at a high school in Birmingham, and I would run, and I could watch them as they played in the sand. And then if it rained, I very slowly was able to build up to 15 minutes of jump roping 3 times a day. And Nancy, I'm so grateful for that. That was 30 years ago, and I'm still doing it. I'm still, because I feel that I don't want to go there again.
And I assume it did start to help you feel better.
Oh, it was wonderful. In fact, my doctor said that if I would exercise every day, that it would produce endorphins, and that would help me to feel better. And he was right.
And so sometimes we deal with this whole anxiety and depression and stress level. Sometimes the answer is or at least part of it, is something very physical. I'm thinking about Elijah, God's prophet, after a great battle and a great victory, and when he was just depleted, exhausted, and God sent that angel to prepare a meal and to tell him to sleep.
You know,
exactly. That can sometimes be the most practical and spiritual thing that a woman can do.
Oh, yes.
How soon, Yvonne, did you see some glimmer of hope from the time you went into that doctor's office and you were feeling depressed and fatigued and exhausted to the point where you began to realize this is helping? Was that a really long process? Was it almost immediate?
Holly, it was a very long process.
No quick fixes.
No quick fixes. No. And probably after 3 years, I began to get a little glimmer of hope. But I was running, I was walking, I was faithfully trying to exercise. But I just come home from the hospital with Lucy, with our fourth child, and a very godly older woman brought me a meal. And I was so happy to see that meal. But she could tell, she could look at me and say, "You are hurting. This is more than just postpartum depression." And she was right. I really was hurting. I was depressed. And she looked at me and she said, "Yvonne, you really don't know God." And I remember thinking, I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. I walked down the aisle at Second Baptist Church in Houston. I don't understand. She said, "No, you really don't know God. And I want to challenge you." Mm-hmm. "And I want to share with you a personal devotional that I have every day, and I want you to start doing it."
And she said this to you?
Yes. And I started doing that. And she said, "I just want you to take 30 minutes in the morning." And I thought, how can I take 30 minutes with babies and mm-hmm. children and being in the ministry? But I was desperate. I was so desperate. And so I began to do what she shared with me, and it changed my life.
It's like spiritual ICU.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was. And she encouraged me to get a notebook and to write at the top of the page the word praise and put 5 things to praise God for. Then the word confess, 5 things to confess, and then thanksgiving, 5 things to thank him for, and then intercession, 5 things to intercede for someone else, and then supplication. And so she said, "Now what I want you to do is to take Psalms, and I want you to begin looking for 5 attributes of God every single day. And I want you to write those attributes down. And after you found 5, that's as far as you read. Then the next day, I want you to look for 5 more. Nancy, I've been doing that now for 30 years because I've seen God's character as I have written it down under the outline of praise that he is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our shield. He is my glory. He is the lifter up of my head.
He is our sanity.
He is everything."
I mean, you think about how crazy this world is, and how out of control our lives can be or feel. And it's God who provides that. That's what the rock is. It's
exactly.
a safe place, a secure place. I think if it weren't for the Lord, we'd all be nuts.
We really would be. I know I would be.
So along with the physical issues that were going on in your life, as you began to get help in those, what really got you out of that pit was getting into God's Word.
Oh, yes,
and
Holly.
And seeing him for who he is.
Oh, yes. In fact, I found that when I would memorize Scripture, I didn't hurt as much. And so I began to write Scripture on index cards, and I put them on my sink, I put them by my bed, I put them on my refrigerator, and God's Word began to very slowly heal my spirit. Because, yes, I was depressed, but the root cause was spiritual. And so as I began to memorize verses, 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape so that you might be able to bear it. And it was as if God were saying, hang on, Yvonne. Hmm. I'm not going to give you more than you can bear. I'm going to provide a way to escape. I'm going to provide a way for you to get strong again so you can take care of these four children, so that you can minister to your husband. And as I began to go through this personal devotional, and I would write down all of these things, I would get down on my knees, and I would actually begin to praise God. Mm-hmm. And we're told that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we're to put on praise as a garment, we're told in Isaiah. And so as I began to praise God, as I began to confess so that I would be clean, and as I would thank him for the depression, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it was almost as if I could say, Lord, I just want to thank you for that pile of dirty clothes. I don't have the strength to wash those, to get the food together, the meals on the table. But Lord, I want to thank you. It was almost as if, not that the problem would go away, but I would seem to have more strength. I would seem to be able to make it. It was during the darkest days of my depression, a dear friend sent me a poem. And I didn't know this poem was a song. But I can remember being up with Lucy to nurse her at 2 a.m. in the morning, thinking, Lord, I'm not going to make it. Hmm. I am physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally exhausted. In fact, I really don't think I'm going to be able to make it to be a mother. But this poem was written by Annie Flint Johnson, and it goes like this. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength when the labors increase. When you've reached the end of your hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. And I thought, that's me. I have reached the end of my hoarded resources. There's nothing left. And it was as if I could hear Jesus saying, praise God. Mm-hmm. Now I can take over.
Yeah. Mm.
When you've reached the end of your hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. And since that time, I've seen that it's a beautiful song. And my daughter Lucy made a calligraphy for me out of that I have on my wall, because there are going to be times in life when we think we have reached the end and we don't have any more strength, and we can just say, God's going to take over.
That's actually the place we have to get to in order to experience the fullness of God's grace and God's strength. As long as we think we can manage, we can handle it, we act as if we don't need God. We always do need God. But it's when we come to the end of our own resources, mm-hmm. that's brokenness.
Exactly.
That's where God's strength and grace take over. And that's how God is glorified.
I know it. It was during that second year of my depression, I heard a Bible teacher say that there are three kinds of sickness. There is a sickness unto death. Well, I knew that I wasn't dying because the doctors had me running 2 and 3 miles a day. There's a sickness unto the glory of God. And I thought, this is not very glorifying that I can barely function as a mother. And then he said something that pierced my heart. He said, there is a sickness unto chastisement. Mm. And I knew that that's exactly what God was doing. In Isaiah 48:10, we are told, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And Nancy, I began to go through the furnace of affliction. And I came home from hearing that Bible teacher, and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, show me the sin that is in my life. God knows just how to get our attention, and he knows just what to do to break this will that is inside of us. And God was allowing me to go through a time where he was purifying me, where he was breaking me, and where he was truly refining me. And we were told that as Christians, we are going to be refined as gold.
And Yvonne, as you're sharing, I'm thinking about a couple passages of Scripture. One of them is a familiar one in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 32, where David describes what happened to him when he had sin in his life that he wasn't willing to confess, to bring into the light. And he says, when I kept silent about my sin, when I didn't agree with God about it, my bones waxed away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And he describes this, really some of the characteristics of depression, just physical symptoms. It was God's chastening hand on his life, not to punish him, but to restore him. And that's what we read about in Hebrews chapter 12, that classic passage on the discipline of God. It says, if you are a child of God, expect that God as a loving heavenly father will discipline you. Why? Hebrews 12 verse 10 says that God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness, that it may purify us, that it may refine us. He's not trying to beat us down. He's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to restore us. And then that verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. And that's what you've been describing, is this painful consequences of your own choices inflicted by a loving, wise heavenly father. You say, why would God put painful discipline into the lives of his children? Well, it says, later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So the question is not, will we be disciplined, but will we receive the discipline that God brings into our lives? And you really began through this process to turn your heart to the Lord and to say, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to show me? What is it you're wanting to teach me? Not so much, why is this happening to me? But what are you saying to me through this?
Oh, that's exactly right, Nancy.
And I think, Yvonne, you have just, one, you've painted a picture out of your own life of where so many of our listeners are today. And you have thrown out a lifeline. As you've shared how God walked you through this process, you've said it wasn't a quick fix. You didn't just pop some pills and or have somebody zap you or a magic formula and it all went away. It was a long process. It's been a hard process. And 30 years later, you're still having to make choices that keep your head lifted up.
Yes.
And yet God has delivered you. And the things that you have shared so practically out of the physical realm and the whole area of your personal relationship with God and his word are exactly what some of our listeners need today. And I think you have just spoken words that will give huge
exactly
hope.
What we need today
is exactly what I need every day. And we do it every, and we're in a different season of life now. You're, both of your children are a little older. Yvonne, yours are grown and out of the house, but you're in a different season of life. You need in your season, I need in my season, and Holly, in your season, we can't make it without God's grace. And those choices physically, in terms of our time with the Lord, that's really what does make all the difference. But I want to say to someone who is in that black pit right now, and you can hardly get up off the couch to put on your sneakers, there is hope. And
there
maybe
is hope.
Just taking a step, getting a friend who will bring that meal, who will say, do you really know God? Where are your tennis shoes? That's what the body of Christ is for. And I have people like that in my life who have come around me and lifted me up when I couldn't lift my own head up. But ultimately, they point us to Christ.
Right.
They get us to his word. I'm thinking of that verse in the Psalms that says, he sent his word and healed them.
Oh,
and we
yes.
have seen that happen in our own lives over and over again. And I just want to encourage you, take a step. Just a step. Realize you're not going to get out of that pit overnight. You didn't get there overnight, but take a step.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss talking with Holly Eliff and Yvonne Welch about despair and hope. They'll be right back to pray with you. Today's conversation is part of a series called Healing from Bitterness. To order a copy on CD or to download a free MP3, visit reviveourhearts.com. As Nancy's talked with countless women over the years, it's clear that one of the main sources of bitterness is unforgiveness. She describes this further in her book, Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. But Nancy doesn't just describe the problem. She shows you a way out of bitterness. She'll take you to scripture passages on forgiveness and help you understand why forgiveness is such a huge deal. And she'll walk you through a process of forgiving those who have wronged you. Don't let bitterness continue. We'd like to help you find freedom by sending you a copy of Choosing Forgiveness when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Ask for the book when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, tomorrow, Yvonne Welch will describe how easy it is for a wife and mom who's always serving to become bitter. She'll explain why that bitterness is so dangerous. Now, let's get back to Yvonne, Holly, and Nancy.
Yvonne, I so appreciate your honesty and the simplicity of, and yet the how profound it is what God has shown you and done in your life. And I wonder if you would just lead us. In fact, I'd like us just to join hands around this table, Holly and Yvonne and myself. And Yvonne, would you just lead us in praying for one or more listeners who may be right now where you were with those four little ones, and just praying that God would be the lifter of their head. And we'll join our hearts with you in asking God to bring hope and help and grace to that one who has come to the end of her hoarded resources. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come right now, Lord, and we want to lift up anyone who is hurting. Father, I know that there are women who are going through what I went through 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just pray that you would give them hope. I pray, Father, that you would give them the ability to get up and to take that first step, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would just encourage them.
Yes.
And that you would show them, first of all, is there any sin in my life that would be causing this? Second of all, do I really know God?
Mm-hmm.
Do I really trust Him? Do I really believe that He is my rock and my shield and my fortress? Oh, Father, I pray that you would give them a heart and a desire to go pick up their Bible, mm-hmm. to open it up, and to begin looking in Psalms for your attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, how I thank you for the many times when you have strengthened my heart, you have encouraged me, and the times when I didn't think I could lift up my head.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, as I went to your word, you did it.
Yes.
And so, Father, we just pray that if there is someone listening today who is hurting, who has totally lost their joy, Father, I pray that you would give them hope. Lord, mm-hmm. I just know that there is hope in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.